America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
And we welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. We're presented by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio, it's former world champion Chris Algieri. And Chris, we are now part of the 100K club, and we couldn't do it without everyone out there. 100K followers on our social platform, Inside Boxing Live. That's pretty damn cool. It just shows you that, you know, the people are listening, people are watching. We appreciate you. We can't do the show without you. Love when we get those numbers when they come rolling in. So that's a pretty cool thing. Congratulations, Chris. Congratulations to Nick behind the scenes and Mitch and Ronnie and everyone that helped. So thank you. And that's pretty cool.
And Dan, congratulations to you too, man. And for everyone listening, like, we are not even close to stopping. So we're going to run those numbers.
That's correct. We took a little hiatus. Took Monday off of Memorial Day weekend. We don't usually do that. How'd you spend it? What'd you do? I saw you actually had a day off. I saw you by the pool. I saw you doing a backflip into some body of water.
Yeah, I was on a boat. It was a nice weekend. You know, I got to relax a bit. It was odd. I found out that I had Monday off from all my jobs on Friday, and I was like, oh wow, oof, what do I do now? This is weird. So I just watched fights and went on a boat.
No, you didn't.
Times are good.
What fights did you watch?
I watched the Taylor Catterall Taylor now, or they're 1-1, so it can go either way. But watch that. I did some homework, watched some other, you know, fights coming up, trying to get ready for what we have ahead. You know, Zhang Wilder, I think that's a really interesting fight. So I did some research on that one.
There you go. Yeah, that's the big fight this weekend. It's the 5-on-5. It is a pretty cool concept that we're finally going to see now, brought to you by the Saudis and Turkey Al-Shalik. The 5-on-5, the Matchroom versus Queensberry, Frank Warren versus Eddie Hearn. I think it means a little bit more to the people over in the UK than it does here, unless they bring it here and we do like an Aram versus Oscar or one of the PBC versus Golden Boy or anything like that. But we're going to see it now. We're going to see it play out. It's weird to see Deontay Wilder.
I don't know. You think Eddie Hearn? I think it matters here. I think it matters here. The fights are good.
I think
good,
it matters, man. A little bit more over there.
I think it matters here too. I think I didn't even think about it like that, because I'm just like, oh, these are good fights. Especially, I guess you're right, because us fans over here have to kind of look into it and be like, oh wow, this is a good card. There's a lot of sleeper fights on there where you're like, oh damn, that's a good matchup. Oh damn, that's a good matchup. So maybe I'm stuck in being like a true boxing head, and I forget that a lot of times American fans aren't like that.
Well, yeah. For us, like, as an American fan, I think we're just looking at Wilder being back. We're looking at a fight card. The UK fans are like, oh my God, this is finally, you know, Frank Warren versus Eddie Hearn. These guys hated each other for years. They were just bitter, bitter rivals. Now they're holding hands, literally holding hands with the Turkey guy in some of these pictures. It's bizarre. Now they're best friends. They're doing content together. It just shows that money is the great common denominator that could bring everyone together. But the main event is the heavyweight fight. Obviously, this was supposed to be Beterbiev versus Bivol. Let's pour out a little bit of pour out a drink for Beterbiev Bivol. I hope that we get it by the end of the year. I think, I don't know anymore. I'm optimistic, Dan. Beterbiev is just not getting any younger. None of us are getting any younger. I don't want to spend too much time on that because there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, Beterbiev is 40 years old and he's breaking down every single training camp. Bivol is on this card. He's fighting a guy that he's a minus 3,000 favorite against. We'll talk about that. But the main event is Zhilhai Zhang versus Deontay Wilder, which could be a little bit of everything. This could be a back-and-forth slugfest. This could be a staring contest because these two guys throw some of the least amount of punches in all of boxing. Zhilhai Zhang throws the least amount of punches out of any boxer today with 29. Deontay Wilder is third with 34 punches thrown per round. So these guys do not throw in volume. They do have heavy hands. They are coming off of losses together to Joseph Parker, not in the same ring. That would be weird. That could be the next thing from Turkey. But these two guys are coming off losses to Joseph Parker. It's a crossroads fight. Bigger fights out there for each man. I like this fight, despite those numbers that I threw out there and I tweeted them yesterday. And everyone's like, don't be putting out that bad energy, Dan. This could be a great fight. Yeah, it could be. I feel like there's no one in between. It's either going to be a staring contest or it's going to be like a knockout, last stand type of affair.
No, I love this fight. I think when it first got announced, I was like, oh, this is a cool fight. It's an interesting match of styles. You have a true big man, a true super heavyweight in Jilei Zhang. And, you know, other than the Parker fight, he's looked really good. And even in the Parker fight, he showed his destructive power. You know, you mentioned that he throws the least amount of punches of anyone. But, like, what is his landing percentage? I bet you it's pretty good. Because when he lets his hands go, you know, he lands and he does damage. You know, your numbers, Dan. So I'm sure you've got the numbers
handy. Well, Bob
Canobio's
numbers, Bob.
Wilder is the kind of guy, he doesn't land a lot. What's his landing percentage?
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Wilder's, I'm sure, is super, super low because he ices guys. If he lands one punch, the fight's, you know, about over. Zhilei is more of a guy who beats you down. He beats the drum, he chops the wood. So when he does start landing, he really runs off of that. But when he can't touch you, like in that Parker fight, it's hard to watch because, like you said, it turns into a staring contest. But once he gets going, dude, if he's able to find home with Wilder, I feel like he's going to break Wilder in half. But he's got to get past that vaunted power. That right hand, especially against a southpaw who doesn't move his head very much. He's very much up in front. You know, he's not a big side-to-side guy. He's not a big level-changing guy. You know, being 6'6" or 6'7" the way that he is, you know, that's tough to get underneath punches. So it's a very interesting matchup. Plus, it's heavyweights, man. Both guys can punch.
That's what I mean. It's like you can look past some of these numbers because they're heavyweights. They're big personalities. It's Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, versus Zhilei Zhang, Big Bang. I mean, you look past all that because we love heavyweights because you might get multiple knockdowns. You might get an unbelievable knockout. You might get a little bit of everything. Or you might get just a staring contest. But I think we'll be somewhere. I think we'll get a good fight. But you want to go through the numbers here. Wilder lands 27% of his jabs. That's the second highest percentage among active. Bam Rodriguez is number one. So Wilder can still land his jab. Wilder lands 42% of his power shots. He also throws the least amount of power shots. That's the thing. If you don't throw, you're focusing on throwing 14 power shots around, you better be able to land some of them. Zhang landed 10 of 29 punches thrown around. That's a 35% connect rate. That's pretty good. He lands 36% of his total punches, Zhang. That's fifth among active caliber, championship caliber fighters. So yeah, they don't throw a lot of punches, but these guys land. And when they land, it's usually catastrophic for their opponents. Joseph Parker in that last fight with Zhilei Zhang was down twice. Zhang openly admitted that I took Parker lightly. He openly admitted that I wasn't in the best shape. He openly admitted that he has made adjustments. He has brought in all sorts of different ways to get more healthy. And he is now looking at this fight as a last stand. Go over to Wilder's side. Wilder threw 17 punches around versus Joseph Parker. What's the last thing to go on a fighter? Well, they say power is not the last thing to go, but being able to pull the trigger, 17 punches around is just paltry. That's even low for Wilder's standard. Just couldn't pull the trigger, listless. And we're talking about if he pulled off the win, he was a 7-1 favorite, Wilder, against Parker. You get that Joshua fight. Joshua is not fighting Ngannou. Joshua is fighting Wilder, finally getting that fight. He's making $100 million, something crazy like that. And he still couldn't do it. So, you know, Wilder's saying, this is my last stand. This is literally my last. If I don't win this fight, I'm done. And if he wins the fight, I still think you can get a fight with Joshua. And if Zhang wins, he can get a fight with Joshua because Joshua's kind of like odd man out right now, as weird as that sounds. So, yeah, this fight has a lot going for it. We're all going to be tuned in, and we're just going to see if this Wilder will activity help, because before that Parker fight, Chris, he was out for a really, really long time. So will we see, will activity help? Will his last stand help? Will money be a motivator? All those things for Wilder.
I think it's a combination of Wilder's performance versus Joseph Parker being Joseph Parker. Joseph Parker's a tough out. I mean, he's he he's strong enough, big enough, athletic enough, and I think he's hard enough to hit. Changes levels, goes in and out. Both of those fights, he was really dialed in because he understood what he had in front of him. He had two very, very dangerous punchers in Wilder and Zhang. So he fought a very smart fight, you know, fought very smart fights in both contests. He was changing levels. He was in and out. He was going up and down. He's using his jab, and he's a smaller than those guys, but he's busy. Not a smaller guy than Wilder, but smaller in terms of punching power. But he was busy enough using that jab, using the boxing ability that he has. You know, I think he's with Andy Lee now. So that's another caveat to his skill set, where he's going to be, you know, improving every time out. So, you know, Parker's a tough out for anybody. I think he's probably better than anybody, better than ever right now because of the experience that he's had with all these big guys. He went 12 with Joshua, and he's now been 12 with Wilder. He's been 12 with Zhang. You know, the guy can fight. But, man, Wilder just did not pull that trigger that night and said some things in the post-fight interview and some of the things leading up to it that made you kind of go, So if he can put all that stuff behind him and get out there and get some vintage Wilder, you know, he's got a really good chance to win. But I mean, based on the last performances from both guys, I got to lean Zhang. I mean, he, even though he didn't close the show with Parker, he still showed he's got it, putting him down twice. Wilder didn't put Parker down, and he's the puncher. So it's a very interesting matchup, and it really depends on who shows up that night. And I think this actually being elevated to main event makes the fight better. I think both guys are going to understand, like, ooh, we got to put on a show. We got to fight. We got to go out there. And like you just said, in terms of what this fight means for both of them moving forward, they're looking at huge paydays, huge events with a win here. So I think there's a lot on the line for these guys. It's kind of like a win this fight or go home type situation for both men.
Yeah, it's like WWE. This is a loser goes home type of fight. A lot of things to unpack to what you just said, and I pretty much agree with a lot of it. Joseph Parker, talk about odd man out. This guy, all he does is win, and he's getting pushed aside because he isn't the biggest name and he isn't the biggest personality. So I don't know what's next for him. Well, that's a discussion for another day. But yes, the amount of money that's
he's
in the heavyweight division.
He's not that fun either to watch.
I know. He's fun on TikTok. You know, he's fun in my world, and you know, I don't know. He just doesn't have like that
he's
one
not,
thing.
He's just
about
not fun in between the ropes.
Mm. Yeah.
No, but he's good at everything. He's very workmanlike. He's good at everything, but he's not great.
Right. But this is about Zhang and Wilder. You know, I also think that Zhang just has a little bit left. The knockdowns to Parker early on were what I'm taking away from that fight from a positive standpoint. The negatives is what we've seen from Zhang his whole career. Like, this guy continuously runs out of steam. He didn't against Joyce because Joyce just stood there in front of him and he got him out of there. You know, I think the first fight was like 8 or 9 rounds. Second fight was even quicker. So Joyce just was tailor-made for him. But if Wilder can move in there...
No, it's even less than that. I think it was like 6 or 7 the first fight, and the second fight was less.
Yeah. So, yeah, he didn't have to worry about his gas tank stopping against Joyce, which is his two best wins. Against Wilder, you know, Wilder's going to have to use his legs a little bit, you know, tire this guy out in there. But what I saw from Zhang in that fight with Parker was he still has that power. And that's the last thing to go on a heavyweight puncher is the power. First thing is the trigger. And we didn't say that from Wilder. You can't throw 17 punches around. That's astronomically low. That's insanely. That's a guy that didn't even want to be in there. We'll see. You know, money is a big motivating factor, Chris. You know, you're a prize fighter. That's pretty much why you do it, why you step in that ring. There's so much money being thrown around right now in the heavyweight division, and there's still a little bit, tiny little bit of an interest in a Wilder-Joshua fight. If Wilder can stop Zhang, let's just say hypothetically here, Wilder has one of his spectacular knockouts, like a Bermain Stavern, Arthur Spilka spins him. It's like just somehow drops Zhang and he's back. He's screaming bomb squad. That fight with Joshua is there. I mean, it's a fun fight at Wembley in September. Like, boom. That's a big if, though, because I just don't think Wilder.
I don't think it matters
for those reasons.
I don't think it matters how he wins. As long as he wins, that Joshua fight happens. Because, listen, we're looking at a heavyweight division right now that is going to be very centered around Usyk and Fury's rematch, which has now been pushed back to December. So we have a whole fall now, a whole fall season that we don't have, you know, these heavyweights are going to be waiting in line. So now Joshua Wilder, if Wilder is to win in any way versus Zhang, it's a very, very makeable fight. You know, I know they're going to push for the winner of Ergovic and Dubois, but now that the IBF may not be on the docket for that, there might be less of a push to make the Joshua fight, especially if it's Ergovic. So if Ergovic beats Dubois, it actually doesn't really matter. Either way, whoever wins that fight, they're now the IBF champion. Joshua doesn't really have a reason to fight that winner. Reason to fight Wilder, though, and that reason is what you just said, Dan. That's the green, man. That's the green. That fight still sells. I think it might sell better now than it has in a couple of years. So we make that fight in the fall. Boom, man. We got the four horsemen back in the heavyweight division. So, dude, heavyweights are fun right now. This is great. I'm happy these guys are fighting. I'm happy they're all getting paid.
You know, we like to set goals as a platform inside Boxing Live. We set a lot of goals, and we've achieved a lot of those goals. We still haven't made it to international waters together as a unit. You've fought over there. You've been over there. If Joshua fights Wilder at Wembley, we got to make that happen. You know, sponsors out there, if you're watching, on PPV.com, we could probably find a way there. If not, I'll find a sponsor to send this out there. Think of the content we can get in London. Like, that would be so much fun. So I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves here because I don't think Wilder's going to win. Zhang is a minus 150 favorite. Zhang stoppage is plus 100. Wilder stoppage is plus 150. Ooh. Those odds are according to DraftKings Sportsbook. That's the main event. I like the fight. I think fans are charged up for it. I didn't mean to throw cold water on it when I threw out those stats yesterday on Twitter, but that's what I do. I'll give you a stat. I won't tell you where it's going to go. It's up to you to figure it out. But if we get some knockdowns, we get a knockdown drag out fight, we get two hungry and desperate fighters, then we could have ourselves a really nice main event. Co-main event, Chris, is another heavyweight fight, and I love this fight. It's Filip Hrgović versus Daniel Dubois. Hrgović is a minus 210 favorite, though on paper it is a close-ish type of fight because some of these odds get crazy in the boxing world. Like you said just before, this was originally supposed to be for the vacated IBF title that Usyk was supposed to be stripped by now, but the IBF, who is probably the most strict organization of them all, Usyk is pleading his case to keep the belts. Eddie Hearn is pleading on the side of Usyk and for probably Turkey to make the rematch with Tyson Fury, which is now scheduled for December 21st, as another undisputed fight. So it seems like the IBF is going to give an exemption to Alexander Usyk. And you know what? He deserves it. So this fight, which was probably going to be a world title fight, which has a lot of implication because Hrgović has been literally just fighting, waiting for this moment to get a world title shot. And he'll get in line now for Dubois. You know, he's coming off the win against Jarrell Miller. I like this fight. This is like a very intriguing heavyweight fight.
Good fight. Big implications for both guys going forward. I was really impressed with Dubois in his last fight against Jarrell Miller. He showed tremendous power. I didn't realize he hit that hard. And you could really see his power that night, both the right hand and the left hook, especially the left hook. He's a dangerous guy. And I'm looking at his stats, man. He's only got two losses. He's 26 years old. And, I mean, he was in there with Usyk. A lot of people argue that he dropped him with that quasi-low blow or whatever. yeah. But, man, this is an interesting fight. And Ergovic is a bad dude. And you mentioned him lying in wait for this IBF title. He lost 2 years of his prime. He's 31. 2 years is 29 to 31. You're missing 29, 30 into 31. That's the prime of your physical career as an athlete. Obviously, heavyweights are a little bit different. Get a little bit of a longer career, a longer prime, but still, it's a fight, man. I back Ergovic a lot. I think he's a fantastic fighter. I think he's one of those guys who will be champion one day. But man, Dubois, he's a tricky character too, man. He can really punch. And again, I keep reiterating, this is the heavyweights, man. It takes one shot. So very intriguing matchup, big implications for the future. Even if it's not for the IBF belt, it's still really important to win this fight. So, and this is what these cards are all about, man. This is what I meant, but you got to look beyond kind of just the names matching up and be like, ooh, this is a sneaky good fight.
Yeah, with Hrgović, he is an example of a guy playing the game. you know, I'm in line. I don't have the biggest profile, so I have to go by the rankings. I have to work my way up, and I have to be the mandatory, and I have to force my way into it. And he's still getting kind of played right now because the IBF is saying, all right, we're going to still give it to Usyk. And because of that, he's only fought twice since 2021. Like you said, Chris, from 29 to 31, he fought Zhang, which was a borderline controversial fight. And then he had that blowout of Mark DeMori, which was like one round. And now he's fighting Dubois. And yes, if he wins, he is the mandatory once again for the IBF. And then also if the IBF becomes vacated, he can get elevated to that. It doesn't matter about that. Just win. Like, it's getting to the point now with the heavyweight division, with all these fights being made, you win, you're going to get yourself into another fight. Even if you lose, you're going to get yourself into another fight. But I like Hrgović with Dubois. That win over Jarrell Miller was like a kid bullying the bully, like finally fighting back, getting his swag back a little bit. The Joyce fight was brutal. Guy got his eye, broke his orbital bone, jabbed to death, quite literally, almost. And then you have the Usyk fight, where he's labeled a quitter. But I do think it was a big stage, and I do think it helped his confidence, because it seems like the guy lacks a little bit of confidence sometimes. Like, these fighters all say the craziest things about him. Look at this quote that Hrgović said about Dubois. He's just a little baby for me. He's not going to put me to sleep. I fought bigger punchers, and they haven't put me to sleep. I'm going to destroy him. He's not mature enough for me. When you see him, it's like you've taken a kid from his parents and put him in the middle of some big shopping mall, and the kid is looking like, where are my parents? That's how I see him.
Wow. That is intense. He's going deep. I don't know how true that really is, because the guy has 20 wins with 19 KOs and is a 6'5", you know, 26-year-old man. And, you know, the guy can punch, and he's been in with, I mean, he's been in with better competition than Hrgović has. If you really look at it, he's fought Alexander Usyk, obviously the best heavyweight in the world. He's been in with Joe Joyce. Yeah, granted, it didn't go his way in either one of those fights, but he's also been with Jarrell Miller, and he got the stoppage of a very, very durable big man. He knocked out Joe Cusumano in one round, who ended up knocking out Adam Konacki, albeit, you know, he popped for drugs later on. But yeah, I mean, the guy can punch, and he's been in with some impressive guys, and he's only 26. So I don't know if that's the kind of guy you want to underestimate if you are Hrgović at this point.
It's just like Dubois, like all these fighters, they see like a soft spot in him because he's not the biggest talker. You know, Jarrell Miller tried to bully him. Usyk didn't, because that's just not Usyk's MO. But now Hrgović, that line is kind of crazy. Like, he said he sparred with him and he got the best of him, but that, you know, sparring is sparring. Yeah, but there's no doubt Dubois has the better resume and the better competition. I think Hrgović has slightly better skills. Hrgović's best win is Zhang, and it was controversial. He's just been so inactive because he's trying to play this game, and I don't blame him, because that's how you make the money when you don't have a big name and you don't have a big push behind you. For him to get into this spot right now is a feat on itself. Keith Connolly and his whole team with Hrgović has done a good job doing that. What you have to do is just not fight, and you're inactive. It's just part of the sport. I like this fight. I like this fight a lot. Some cool little stats here. 12 of Hrgović's 14 knockouts have been scored within 4 rounds, while over at Dubois, 16 of his 19 stoppages have been inside of 4 rounds. So these guys have heavy hands, and they land early. I do think this fight will go over 4 rounds. I think 8.5 is what DraftKings has set. DraftKings has Hrgović as the favorite, but I wouldn't sleep on Dubois. I mean, I would not sleep on Dubois because he's got heavy hands and he's younger. That's another thing too with Hrgović. He hasn't fought. He only fought 3 guys younger than him in his 17 fights. And Dubois, like you said, is 26 years old, hungry, momentum, swag, bullied the bully, all that stuff.
Yeah, Dubois is dangerous, and Hrgović very, very good, but the untested thing is important to me. You know, he hasn't really been he had the fight with Zhang. I called that fight super, super close fight, razor thin close fight. Zhang showed a lot that night. I was really impressed. Obviously Hrgović showed a ton too, because he's in there with a very, very good fighter. But I don't know if, like I said, overlooking a guy like Hrgović, like Dubois, not a great idea. You got a big young guy in front of you, and he may be a little deer in headlights because of the stage, and we've seen that before, but he's also been there before. And Hrgović hasn't been around I will say this though, I like that Ergovic is Croatian. You know, we get a new country in the mix. We haven't had a lot of good, you know, Croatian heavyweights in our era. So I like a global sport, and I like to see different countries come out there and do their thing. So I agree with you, Dan. I'm very much looking forward to this fight. It's been announced for a while. I think I've always been excited for it, but I'm getting more and more excited as we get closer.
Yeah, I like that heavyweight fight. That's a co-main event. A fight that I think is going to steal the show is a featherweight fight between Raymond Ford and Nick Ball. Ford is coming off that thrilling second with 7 seconds left. He's down on the card like a buzzer-beating KO win over Klomatov. That he won the WBA featherweight title. So this kid, Ford, is sky high right now. Nick Ball is always in good fights. He had that weird fight with Ray Vargas where he dropped him twice, fought to a draw. But if you ask anyone out there, they thought that Nick Ball won the fight. Like, I love this fight. We probably wouldn't get it if it wasn't for tons of money being thrown together. I'm not going to complain. But I think Ford versus Ball is going to steal the show on Saturday.
We wouldn't get this fight if it wasn't for the 5-on-5, regardless of the money, because they're featherweights. So they're not looking to garner a ton of cash in order to fight each other. And Ray Ford's young. He just won a world title. He's looking for a defense of his newly won title in an amazing fight. I was there in the room that night. Nick Ball, robbed of winning his first title with that Ray Vargas fight. That was a title fight, right? I do believe it was.
Ray Vargas, the Ball, excellent Ray fighter, Vargas,
tall.
I believe so.
Yeah, it was a title fight, right? Yeah. And so Nick Ball, the guy's a fire hydrant. He's like 5'1" or something. He's a short guy. But man, can he punch? He's got a great stiff, hard piston jab, great overhand shots. His left hook is a nightmare. And I think Ray, as much as he has those boxing skills, he does like to fight on the inside at times. So I think this is going to be actually a very, very entertaining fight. If Ball can get on the inside and get to bang it away like he normally does, which is always how his style is, and Ray plans or stands or decides to stand there in front of him and trade with him, which I think he might at times, I think this is a great fight. And I don't know who wins this fight. I don't know who wins this fight. I've been impressed with Nick Ball. As much as I'm a huge fan of Ray Ford, Ray the Savage, and how he's able to box and fight at the same time, this is a sneaky, sneaky good fight.
Yeah, you talk about Croatia. How about Newark? Put Newark back on the map. Ray Ford from New Jersey. Nick Ball
hasn't been a New York champ in a while.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Ball is the -160 favorite, so that's pretty close. Those are pretty close odds. I love that. I mean, you take a look at these odds on DraftKings, and they're
Ball's the favorite?
All close fights. Wow. Nick Ball is a -160 favorite. Yeah. I love that. Like, a lot of times you will go down a boxing card.
Interesting.
Sometimes the main event is the most ridiculously one-sided odds. But if you go down this event, it's all like -160.
Oftentimes.
-120. Even Hergovic being -210. I'll take that in today's boxing world in terms of like going down a card, not just the main event. I love Ford versus Ball. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know that this might steal a show. I think a lot of boxing pundits would agree with that. Middleweight fight, Austin Ammo Williams versus Hamza Shiraz. I mean, we're talking about two guys that are emerging at middleweight. It's a division that is up for grabs. It is a fight between, I wouldn't even say prospects anymore, but both these guys are in that middle, like Pacheco area, where you're not really a prospect and you're just on the precipice of being a contender. They're both undefeated. They both have big power. Another 50-50 fight, Ammo Williams and Shiraz.
Yeah, Shiraz, I think he's 6'3". He is tall, he's long, he can punch. This is a dangerous, dangerous fight for both these guys. I'm actually surprised to even see this one on the card, just because you're matching up two undefeated guys with big potential, guys that I think both sides, promotionally wise, have been moving towards the title the right way, and they're throwing them right into the mix, man, right into the fire, which is something that we're seeing more and more of in the boxing world, which I think is fantastic. I know Shiraz is coming off that one-round blowout of Liam Williams, but I mean, I'm pretty sure he was shot going into that fight, but he's looked really impressive even before that. Hasn't got a lot of rounds because he's got good power and he knocks out these guys. Ammo Williams, tremendous, tremendous athlete. Not a ton of experience, but has been in some tough fights. I think tougher than Shiraz has been. So I think that's going to be a big asset for him. That win over Steve Rolls was pretty impressive. He's a tough guy to look good against. And Ammo didn't look great, but still, he got in there 10 rounds with a real, real pro. So I think this fight is going to come down to the athleticism, the experience of Amma Williams, and just the physical ability and technical proficiency of Shiraz. This is another really, really good fight. Another pick'em fight that I'm not really sure who's going to win either.
Love it. Shiraz is a -225 favorite right now, according to DraftKings. Love that fight. Craig Richards and Willie Hutchinson is part of this 5-on-5. Richards, you've seen fight before. He's a 175-pounder that always gives everyone trouble. Hutchinson has one loss. He's a little bit younger than Richards. The winner of this one should get put themselves right back into discussion at 175, a division that has Benavidez in it now, a division that still has Bivol, who's on this card too. Dimitri Bivol is fighting Malik Zinad. It's not part of the 5-on-5. Malik Zinad, good luck. I don't know much about him. Bivol is a -3,000 favorite. That's the boxing I know and love.
All right, Zinad's good. This is a bit of a banana peel fight for Bivol. Luckily, he is, you know, that Eastern European mindset where he's going to make treat every fight the same way and come in ultimately prepared and understand that he's a dangerous man in front of him, especially stylistically the way that Bivol fights. But he needs to be careful here because Zinad is can fight. He's big, he's long, he's tall, he's got decent power. He's got some experience, got round under his belt, and he's been waiting for this opportunity, waiting for any opportunity. And I think he's had enough time to be ready for this fight properly. Yeah, this is again, a banana peel type fight. And I think that, I don't know how Bivol is really going to look in this fight. He's a tough style. He's a little bit awkward too. Zinad is. Interesting fight. I don't think this one's stealing the show. I don't think so at all. But it's a fight that is going to be intriguing because again we're waiting on what's going to happen with Bivol. You know, if Beterbiev can ever get through a training camp and this fight can actually happen. So everything that Bivol does at this point is always going to be under the microscope because we're waiting on that massive, massive fight.
This might be the fight where you go, run out, get an iced coffee. You run out and get some food. Because not because I don't think it's going to be, I love watching. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that either. I love Bivol. I love watching him fight. Guy came to our party last year. He is the man, but this is a UD Bivol win. Like this is a UD. The over is 10.5 -110. I'm going to see, Bivol by decision is wait, what? Oh, they think he's going to, Vegas thinks that Bivol is going to knock this guy out. Because Bivol by decision, I thought would be like -500. It's plus money, Bivol by decision. So they are banking on the fact that Zinad doesn't have any resistance. Bivol is going to step on the gas. I don't know. Will he step on the gas? Like, if you know that you have that Beterbiev fight looming, like, this guy has issues finishing fighters. I'm talking about Dimitri Bivol. How many times have we watched a Bivol fight where we're like, okay, sixth round, you're winning every single minute of this fight. Get him out of there. And then it goes 12, gets his hand raised. You have the same conversations, rinse and repeat with Dimitri Bivol. I would like to see a stoppage. A stoppage would excite me, especially if the card is running really long.
You just described his last outing, Lyndon Arthur. You know, as a guy that we're like waiting, like, all right, when's he going to step on it? But the thing about Bivol, and this is going to be the knock on him for anyone, and anyone who's picking Beterbiev against Bivol is they're seeing something that I've seen is that as good as his defense is and as good as his or how difficult his style is to deal with and how good he is at changing ranges and letting his hands go when he's got you, he gets hurt. And even the Lyndon Arthur fight, if you really watch a fight, he got hurt to the body in that fight. And it was right before sitting there being like, all right, it's time to step on the gas. Then he got touched to the body, got hurt, and then went back to being safe. Similar to what happened in the Joe Smith fight. We're all waiting for him. All right, step on the gas. You've won every second of every round against Joe Smith. And it's like, all right, now it's time to step up. And then you get clipped with a right hand. Okay, going back to what was working, and I'm going to win the decision. You know, is it that kind of fight? I think so. I think that Zinad is dangerous enough. I think because of his awkwardness and his size and the fact that he can punch a little bit, I think we're getting 12 rounds.
All right, so, I mean, if you take Chris's advice here, plus money. Bivol by decision. Like, that's what I'm going to bet. I'm going to make a healthy parlay and put that out. This is like the type of card that you make one of those monster parlays and you put like $5 on it and like
D-gen try Dan.
Put a $5 down on a massive parlay. Like I'll do every single fight and then try to pay my rent that month with that. So yeah, that's the 5-on-5. That's the 5-on-5 card. Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren will be at the center of this, just like Eddie wants. I'm interested to see how it plays out because they're toying around with other 5-on-5s. Chris, I don't know if you saw this. Turki Yeşilik, got to mention him once per episode. Someone tweeted, how about USA versus Mexico? Headlined by Canelo Alvarez versus Terrence Crawford. And having Caleb Plant on there versus Munguia. And I think this could catch on. It's a, like, I was thinking about this. Boxing's been around for how long? Hundreds of years. And now we have a new concept. Like a 5-on-5 is a new concept. It's fun. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. I'm interested to see the captains and the point system and all that. Like, cool. It's cool. It's a little gimmick, but like the fights are good. We saw gimmicks all the time in boxing. We're still seeing them to this day. If the fights aren't good, I don't give a damn about the gimmicks. But I do think these fights are going to be good. That's the thing. If you give me good fights and a gimmick, I'm in.
I love it. And the reason I love it is competition. I love competition. And I think when things are competitive, we have promoters now who are competing. They want to put their guys in to win. So we're getting matchups of guys who want to win. So I love it. I didn't even realize this Canelo card was a real thing. I thought this was like one of those, like, I'm just a regular, I'm one of these boxing guys who's media who just puts a phone in your face and said, you know, does an interview and you're supposed to pretend you're some kind of media outlet and they're putting up these fantasy fights. I mean, if this is a real thing, I think it's really cool. There's some cool fights on there. But in terms of this 5-on-5 promoter versus promoter matchup thing, I absolutely love it. I don't care for the point system. That's whatever. But the fact that these guys are putting up good fighters against each other where they normally wouldn't if they didn't have anything to gain, I think is really cool. Because listen, guess what, guys? These promoters have egos too. They want to win. And you know, they got money in their fighters, but also they got some ego. And they want to be able to be like, I beat Frank Warren. I beat Bob Arum. You know, so I think that's a big part of this. And I love it because I love competition.
Chris, if you were in a 5-on-5, you're representing the USA, of course. You're not representing Argentina. You're representing the U.S. of A. And you had to fight a Mexican from your era. Who would it be?
Ooh, trying to think who was Mexican in my era. It's funny because I fought a Mexican style fighter in Ruslan Pavonikov, and it's funny because I garnered a lot of Mexican fans off of that win because they all loved him because of his style. But I'm trying to think Mexicans, dude, Marquez. I would have loved to have fight Juan Manuel Marquez, you know, because he was coming up around that time. I probably just missed him. Ooh, Mike Alvarado. I mean, he's an American-Mexican, but I'm trying to think. Who else?
Well, I liked the Marquez fight.
Yeah, definitely Marquez. Yeah, Marquez. I think you know, Tim showed that he can be outboxed. And if you don't stand in front of him and wait for his counterpunches, you know, you can get a win. So athleticism gave him trouble, things that I could do. I think that fight would have been a lot of fun. I thought about fighting him because I was looking at all those guys who are around. But obviously, he was like way, way above in terms of, you know, money fights where he was at that stage of his career. He was a little bit older than me. But yeah, that sounds like a great fight.
Yeah, it would be like a technical fight, a 140-ish between you and Marquez. That 5-on-5 would
Canelo, he would try to not make it too technical.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he tried to get Mexican style on your ass. The 5-on-5 with Canelo, this rumor of Canelo and Crawford is not simmering down. Canelo is in the news. We'll end the show with this. He's relinquishing his IBF title because William Skull, everyone, the household name of William Skull, 22-0 Cuban, is the IBF mandatory at 168. Now, Canelo's been undisputed champion at 168 since the Caleb Plant fight. And if you're a boxing fan, you know how hard it is to become undisputed, and you know how hard it is to stay undisputed because these organizations just come picking at those belts. But it's Canelo. He was able to be Canelo and keep those belts, but not anymore. The IBF is like, nope. If you don't fight William Skull next, we're taking away your title. Canelo says, okay, take away my IBF title. I'm going for big fights. Crawford, on the other hand, was demoted to champion in recess at 147 by the WBC. Of course, he hasn't fought at 147 since last July against Errol Spence. His next fight for Crawford is at 154. And some news there is the WBC just voted that his fight with Madrimov is now the final eliminator for the Fedora Spence winner, which is the WBC title. So we could potentially see Crawford Spence 2 and for a bunch of belts. If Spence could get past Fedora, we could see Crawford versus Fedora. We could see Crawford versus Canelo. That's interesting.
Very interesting, and it seems like they don't want to give up on the Spence Crawford rematch. You know, I think they did all that work in the lawyers' offices at the big long table trying to figure that fight out. Obviously, it didn't work out because of how the first one ended. So I think they're trying to revisit that now with Spence being heavier and fighting at a heavier weight class. It's been a little bit; people are maybe starting to come around to it. If he comes out there and he looks good against Fedora, who had a breakout fight in his last fight against Tim Zhu. Yeah, I think that's probably a fight that people are going to look to, or the people in charge are going to look to make, because there's just so much money to make, whether the fight fans really want it or not. But, you know, boxing fans, we're a fickle bunch. So it wouldn't be that surprising if we saw that fight down the line. But he's got to get past Fedora, and we don't know how much Spence has left. Fedora looked good in his last fight. He seems like he's learned how to use his height now, which makes him dangerous. You know, he's extremely tall and long, and he actually boxed pretty good against Tim Zhu, although I think that cut had more to do with it than anything. But interesting turn of events and the way things are kind of shaping up to be.
Yeah, but going over to the Canelo Crawford pipe dream could still be out there. Turkey actually is steadfast and wanting it November, December. From things I'm hearing out there, Canelo is not locked into September. There isn't many options for Canelo in September. It's not going to be, probably not going to be Benavidez. Berlanga's name is out there. UFC has a huge card September 15th, 16th weekend at the Sphere. They're trying to make that their thing. Canelo could be talked into a fight with Crawford, especially with the Saudi money behind it. He's been talking about, I want that Saudi money, $200 million to fight Benavidez. And usually Canelo announces his September fight around early July. He announced the Charlo fight last year at the beginning of July, and he had a press conference like 2 weeks later. So we're going to figure it out. I mean, Crawford's fighting August 3rd. He's not going to wait till Crawford fights and figure out if he's going to win. He's not going to fight Crawford in September because Crawford's fighting August 3rd. So we're going to see what Canelo does. We're still on Canelo watch. We're always on Canelo watch, but him giving up one of the titles is it's just boxing formality. It's just bookkeeping at this point. Opens him up to bigger fights. 154 is interesting right now. The whole freaking sport is interesting right now. We're living in a glorious time. If you're a boxing fan, enjoy the fights on Saturday. Another afternoon edition of the fights from Saudi. I don't know if you guys like those afternoon ones or not. I kind of do, because it opens up my Saturday night. Allows us to do a little bit of content and react. But I'm going to be watching. I'm definitely going to be watching this 5-on-5 card. See how it all plays out.
I mean, you know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be barbecuing in my backyard watching these fights and then actually going to sleep at a decent hour on a Saturday night, which I like to do because I like to get up early on Sundays. But I like to get up early in general. But I like these afternoon fights, and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you guys at home like enjoy them too, because we got a great card ahead of us.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Enjoy the fights. If you're going to bet, use DraftKings. If you're going to watch them, this is not carried on PPV.com, but we're heading to Gervonta Davis versus Frank Martin in a few weeks, and you're going to be able to watch that on PPV.com. Working on some big guests for next week. Working on a lot of things. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We out.
Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.